Hey, everybody. Nice to have you tuning into the show. Before we get to my guest, I dropped my phone in the ocean. I was doing something by the water, and I was talking on the phone, and it fell in the water. And I have a waterproof case, sort of. It's one of those, I got an iPhone, and then there's that little screw that goes in the bottom where you plug in your jack for your headphones. Well, that screw broke and I didn't replace it, and I left it alone, and it fell in the water and it went into the seaweed, and I had to jump in the ocean and with no goggles and look for it. So now it's sitting in a bowl of rice. So I want you to pray, if you don't believe in God, then send me money for a new phone. I hope to God that I don't lose this phone. I have so much information on it. Anyway, I just needed to get that out because I'm struggling right now with this. And but on a lighter note, The Handmaid's Tale. Kristen Gutowski, who is a really great actress and one of the principal actors on The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu, is my guest. Very, very cool person. Has done some great work on Chicago Fire, Lethal Weapon, Containment. And we have a really cool conversation about working on The Handmaid's Tale particularly, and how intense that can be given the subject matter and the relevance of a lot of the themes that the show goes into that sort of, you know, resonate with what's going on in the world today. And just her background, a really, really cool conversation with a very interesting, super talented actress. Hope you enjoy it. Hope your phone doesn't get wet. Please leave some kind comments on iTunes. Tell your friends as well about the podcast. Ask them to leave some kind words. And if you have anybody you know that would like to hear the podcast, please tell them about it and encourage them to subscribe. Always nice to have new fans, new listeners. Enjoy the interview, everybody. Have a great week. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. My guest this week is a terrific actress. You've seen her in The Vampire Diaries, Containment, Lethal Weapon. She currently can be seen in the award-winning drama on Hulu, Handmaid's Tale, and also in Chicago Fire. Actress and musician, very accomplished musician as well. Kristen Gutowski, great to have you on the show.
Thank you. Yeah, it's lovely to be here. I'm doing really well today.
Now, you're originally from Toronto, right?
Yeah, it's a great city. And I mean, it's the greatest city to be in the summer. It's just like, you know, in May, even when it becomes, you know, 15 degrees out, which in, I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit. I've lived in the States for 7 years and I'm still trying to, you know, take me long to do the math in my head.
I don't know.
Like, what is that? Like 65?
Let's say it's 72. I don't know. Why not?
Yeah, we'll go with that. I think there is a math thing, but it would take me probably the entire show to figure it out in my brain. But people have got their tank tops on, you know, they're so excited. For the summer to come. So when it is summer in Toronto, everybody's out, every patio is packed. Everyone's just, you know, happy to have a little vitamin D. So I do miss it. Yeah. I mean, my family and friends are there and you know, Canada's a great country and I'm really proud to be from there. And I miss, yeah, it's a great city. Good food. Good restaurants, perform up there.
My first experience up there was my wife and I, we went to high school together and our high school had a class trip and we went up there in high school. And, you know, basically just our goal was to get drunk wherever we could and then have sex wherever we could, pretty much, you know. And, but I remember walking around the city when we weren't drunk or hungover and it just was such a lovely city and people were really cool. And we were able to sneak into a couple of bars underage. So it was definitely our kind of city, you know, it was really awesome.
Right. I think that was a trend of a lot of Americans to pop over the border because our drinking age is 19 there too.
Yeah.
Everyone, I often get those stories of like, yeah, we used to go to this bar in Windsor. And,
yeah. We were the ugly Americans.
Land of the free.
So did you, you studied, improv at Second City and we'll talk about Handmaid's Tale in a minute, but do you find as an actress, I mean, I think improv is a great training for anything. Do you find as an actress that comes into play sometimes? Maybe not in a literal sense, because I know often, you know, directors and writers want you to stick to the script. But do you find that sort of base of experience and sort of education sort of helped you in your dramatic acting?
Absolutely. I mean, well, I did Second City when I was super young, but and then I kind of picked up here in LA and started doing UCB class, Upper Upright Citizens Brigade. And it's super important because it teaches you to think on your feet. It also helps you find the joy and the fun in the play. You know, the imagination, and it also puts you out there. It's scary. It's scary. Improv, you know, it can be scary because you could blank or you could say something silly and you're really putting yourself out there. And I think it's great training, for that. I mean, my manager actually told me, I want you to do improv classes because it helps with auditions even, because you're always able to think on your feet and put yourself out there and not be so afraid of that, you know?
Yeah, I found, you know, going up for auditions myself, especially for commercial auditions, that's become a big, big part of the breakdowns is like, they, especially commercials, they seem to really want a lot of improv actors now these days, which makes sense, I guess, you know?
Yeah, they absolutely do. And it's a great skill to be able to just, snap your finger and be able to come up with something.
Yeah.
Witty and funny and
yeah,
and
exactly.
True.
You went to Australia as a, you know, you were like a kid and as an exchange student, right? And studied there. And what a friend of mine's son did that when they were young and they really loved it. How old were you? What was that like? And like, sort of how did that like inform sort of your overall like experience as an education as an actress and an artist and all of that?
Yeah, it was a really important trip for me. I was 20 or 21. It was my last semester of university. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'd been living away in dorms and, you know, student housing. So that gave me like a level of independence, my first kind of dose of it, but moving to a completely different country, you know, and there was no huge culture shock. You know, I could speak my language, you know, speak the English language and there's, right. You know, similar westernized kind of culture there, but, it's still a whole new world and a whole new place. So I think it kind of gave me a level of independence where I was only really relying on myself.
Yeah.
And then I was fortunate enough to get to do a drama class. And put up an Australian play called Cozzy, which was so nice to get into the, you know, a drama world and a study in a different country and meet amazing artists over there. So I got to act, I got to learn about myself, and I definitely think it was a growing experience for sure.
Yeah, I think all those kind of experiences inform the performer in us because I think it just creates a level of conscious, even subconscious confidence, you know, like when you see, you know, I do stand up and, you know, I work out in New York and sometimes comedians will just stay in New York and just work the clubs in New York. And I'm like, you got to work all over the place and go to Toronto and Australia and Iowa and be in front of different people that aren't like you and get out of your comfort zone. And that's going to just make you more confident as a performer in general, whether you're a live performer or an actress or an actor or, and so I can imagine, I'm probably sure it helped you when you moved to LA, right? From Toronto, like you had already experienced living in another city far away from home. So I would imagine that helped you on your transition into LA, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you start to get used to, and as an actor, you always have to kind of pick up your life and start over because we're constantly traveling.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get even like in terms of just the logistical stuff of finding a place and, you know, getting
right.
enough internet bill
right.
and all that. You kind
right.
of just get really
yeah.
used to the pick up and go.
Yeah.
And I agree with you what you're saying before about it, just traveling. You know, you need to get outside your bubble as an artist.
Yeah.
To understand different perspectives and different cultures and see the world. And I think that informs you as an artist. And if you're not traveling and experiencing things outside of your little bubble, then I don't think you can create really, really connected and deep art, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and also, you know, you're a musician, you have a single coming out in the fall. And also there's a lovely video of you doing Blackbird by the Beatles. And, it's really quite nice. What is it about music? Was music first and then acting first? How does one sort of feed the other? And what is it about music that obviously is important to you?
Music to me, I mean, I've done it since I was a kid, so it's kind of always been something I've loved.
And hip hop dance too. You can do hip hop dance, right? Weren't you a hip?
Yeah. I love to dance to any kind of music, really. yeah, music in terms of creating music, there's something really personal about that. Mm. It's my words. It's my perspective, my message.
Yeah.
So I've kind of, I guess, held it back for, and never really kind of put a ton of it out in the world because I want to make sure it's coming from like a really grounded place. So, there is something about music that's so transcendent too, you know, it really can reach so far, and that's what I love about it. So it's exciting to finally get that out there. And, yeah, singing is just such a fun experience. I feel like you really get to channel some sort of divine energy through your body when you sing. It really, you know, can't take credit for it. It just comes from somewhere, which is cool. But I can't compare the two. I mean, they both feed each other. I both love them equally.
Yeah.
Acting and singing. And when you can do both, which is what I try to do in, you know, in projects, then that's such a gift.
Yeah, it's kind of like stand-up. You know, there is a very personal thing to writing something and then immediately getting a response to it versus acting in someone else's work, which is also great, you know, but it's definitely related, but not related, and both sort of, I think, sort of support the other. Oh, by the way, 15 degrees Celsius is 59 Fahrenheit, just so you know. I just had to look it up. I looked it up. I'm not being a show off. I looked it up. So I'm just helping you a little bit, you know, when you know what I'm saying? Exactly. So, Handmaid's Tale, just, there's so much that's interesting about that. And, you know, you had said, in talking about it, that you feel like as an actor, this is where you want to belong. What did you mean by that? Because of sort of the gravitas of the subject matter, or what drives that feeling for you?
That was more wanting to belong around like a group of amazing collaborators, you know.
Yeah.
I felt like when I got onto the set, I was like, oh, you know, this is how I like to work. And now I'm around a bunch of people who work that way in terms of attention to detail. And, there was just so much artistic integrity on that show. And, you know, we didn't stop until we got it right.
Mm.
You know, you're shooting less pages a day on this show than most projects. So,
oh, is that right? Is that because of the subject matter? Because it's because of the heaviness of the subject matter, or why is that?
I mean, I think it's because they want to make the best possible piece, so they don't want to rush it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, some projects you work on, it's just about making the day and boom, boom, boom. And, you know, you do a take and you're like, they're moving on and you're like, well, did we really get that? You know? And then, right. So they make sure on this show that you really got it. And yeah, there's just so much artistic integrity and such brilliant, talented people who hold their standards really high in what they're making. So I was like, I would love to be able to make that kind of thing all the time and be around those kind of artists and creators.
Yeah. It's kind of what you dream about when you're sort of auditioning for things, or you're watching a movie at home or something, and you're like, man, it'd be great to be in that or work with that director. And then you're there, right? And the great thing is it came out of a cameo that you did in season one, right? Which is really a great story for you.
Yeah, it's so exciting when that happens. I mean, there's so many times in our industry where you get close on something, or you get pinned for something, or you do a little part in something and it gets cut out, or you know, there's a lot of things that don't always pan out. So to have a small little part and then to remember and allow me to come back in a more substantial way is like a dream, absolute dream. And, you know, definitely so grateful for it.
How collaborative do the writers, showrunners, creator, director allow you to be as an actress on that show in terms of where you, not necessarily the arc of your character, because that's sort of, I think, not an area where maybe an actor or an actress has a right to say something, but like in more the specifics of what your character might say in a particular scene, or do they allow you to have that kind of discussion with them, or they pretty much want you to, you know, stick to what they give you?
No, I think like at the beginning of every scene, we always had a discussion, you know, with the director or Elizabeth or Bradley or whoever I was working with on scene that day, we'd always talk through the scene first and everyone would contribute their thoughts, you mm-hmm. know. And of course, like the writers and the producers and everyone kind of have an idea of the whole arc of the season and they know the show better than anyone. And so at the end of the day, like, yeah, you got to kind of follow the script, but things would change depending on how a scene worked. You know, it would completely change on the day, yeah. which is really cool. And it kind of, they did that in order to kind of, yeah, if something wasn't working, then we'd reevaluate. And they were definitely cool with me, pitching in and saying what I thought, you know, in terms of personally for Beth. And then we found kind of the most important or the most appropriate way to kind of play the scene. So yeah, there was always a dialogue at the beginning.
Yeah. So what I like to do for my listeners is sort of, you know, let them people understand how people who are really great at what they do, what their process is. And, you know, you've talked about you've created a backstory for your character. And for people who aren't in this business or don't follow it very closely, explain to them what creating a backstory is as an actress and why that's important.
Yeah. I mean, a backstory is essentially filling in the life of who this person is. You know, there's such a great opportunity with acting to kind of have bring your imagination to life. So what I try to do is I create an entire story for who Beth is, for example, and what led her to be at this exact point in where she is in life. So, you know, who is her family and what experiences has she had? When has she been hurt? You know, who does she love? What has driven her to get to this point? Because I think it's all, you know, in life, a culmination of your experiences that help you to arrive at where you're at. So I think whether that operates like consciously in the scene on a day is one thing. I think it kind of almost goes into the subconscious. And for me personally, it helps me kind of embody, and find like empathy for this character and love this character. And when that happens, I find I can drop into the rhythm of who that person is and kind of leave myself.
Yeah. And
behind. And also, so
yeah, that's great. And do you,
painting also, a picture.
Yeah. And it's sort of, so when you're saying a particular line, the way that line comes out of that character has a different sort of feel because of this subconscious backstory that exists, right? Like, so if you've been hurt a bunch of times in your backstory and then you're having a conversation where you're hurt and you're in your backstory, your character's been hurt a lot, I feel like that character is going to respond in that moment differently than a person with a backstory who has not been hurt. So it seems to all make a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you'll put a wall up, you know, like,
right.
Be defensive, be protective of yourself. Well, why? What made you respond in that way? So I think, yeah, it can inform all of your reactions in every scene.
A good amount of the subject matter has such relevance, and there's a, as you've said, a gravitas to it. And have you found that the writers, creators, that they're sort of the writing or the direction of the show a little bit is reflecting what's happening in real life proactively? Is it being affected by events in real life over the last couple of years? Because it just seems so relevant all the time, you know?
I know. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It is uncanny how, and even just the timing, you know,
yeah.
Some things happening in life and then synonymously in the show. I mean, I think Margaret Atwood was very kind of prophetic in her writing. She seems to kind of, I don't know, have this ability to tell stories that are relevant 30 years later. And so I think that definitely helps. But in terms of whether it informs the writers, like, I can't speak on behalf of how they go to things.
Right.
I don't know if it's the chicken or the egg, like, are these topics, you know, but I'm sure, I mean, in all writing and art, art reflects life and vice versa. And it's kind of a cycle, right? So I'm sure it definitely affects them, especially with the amount of influence this show has had and how women have protested and Handmaid's outfits. Like, there is a great responsibility to kind of tell stories that are reflective of what's happening. And so I don't know. I assume, yeah, it would inform the writing, but I also,
yeah,
I think that who knows which kind of started first.
Yeah. Do you, I mean, the subject matter is pretty intense and obviously you're a great actress and very professional. Are you able to compartmentalize when you're done? Or do you ever find that there's spillover when you go home at night? Is it stuff that kind of is really intense and sort of sticks with you, or it might be, I don't know, upsetting for lack of a better term. How is it? It seems like it'd be intense to handle some of that.
I think it is. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely subject matter that, as a, you know, especially as a woman, can hit you kind of in your gut.
Yeah.
I think you just really have to learn how to compartmentalize and turn it off and on like a switch. And yeah, there were nights when I would, you know, go home and be particularly moved by a scene. And you know what? Like, I'll just sometimes go home and I'll just let out a big cry and then I'm good, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, if I'm carrying anything residual with me, then I'll do some sort of self-care ritual or some sort of release to kind of let it go, because you can't, you know, for me to feel sane, I can't carry it on every day, because you're just focusing on, you know, scary things. So you just, it's practice. It's just practice. And when you're out of practice one night, you find ways, rituals to kind of.
Yeah. If you chill
it out.
Right. If you carried it with you, it'd be tough to even have like relationships with people. You'd end up in your house alone.
I'd be mad at my.
Yeah.
Partner every day.
Yeah. Eating potato chips. Well, it's really great to talk to you. You're also in Chicago Fire, which is coming out in September. You've got a single coming out. It's just incredible work on Him and Tail on Hulu. So folks should catch that. And if anybody needs to know the conversion of Celsius to Fahrenheit, I would contact Kristen on social media. And she will be happy to do the conversion as a Canadian and as a Canadian. Are you still a Canadian citizen? Are you also an American? Are you a dual citizenship?
I am. I'm an American resident, but you know, a couple more years and hopefully I can become dual and contribute to the voting system here.
Please. Yeah. We need you.
Yeah,
we need you.
I know every vote counts.
Exactly.
Exactly. I would love to contribute.
Yeah. Well, just sneak in and do it. I mean, why not? Everybody else seems to be cheating their way through our political system.
Gosh.
Why not? Yeah. It's great to have you on. Congratulations on all your success. And we'll see you on Handmaid's Tale. We'll see you on the Chicago Fire. And we'll look for your single coming out.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. There you go. Kristen. Pretty cool person. I really enjoyed the conversation. I hope you guys did too. And hope you guys can remember to leave some kind words and comments on iTunes about the podcast. That always helps. And tell your friends about it. We want to keep building the old fan base, as they say. Okay, guys. Thanks for checking it out. And we'll see you next week.